yet stand in silence upon the heels of time, to hear the voices of the city as bells of evening chime, the shofar sounding from the temple to call the world to pray. The shepherd pauses in the valley and peace is everywhere. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, forever young, forever old, my heart will sing your songs of glory. Jerusalem, 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 O city with a heart of gold, my heart will sing your songs of glory. Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halelechot shirayich hanikinuch. Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halelechot
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here to Jenkins Church this morning. We're glad you're with us. As I do the announcements, please be sure and register your attendance in the pads that have been... Have the attendance pads been passed out yet?
They have not.
They have not. Louise, are you going to take care of that for us? All right. Announcements. I'm going to do very short because we have a lot to cover this morning in our service. First thing is tonight at 6 o'clock, please be sure and come. Our cantata is tonight. Sam, do you have anything to add about the cantata? It's at 6 o'clock. Come and enjoy music. Okay. And Sherry, I also had the barbecue marked, and you're standing up, so I know you have something to say about that. Would you rather the brownies and the cookies already be prepackaged when they get here? Okay. The only other announcement, excuse me, is please be sure and fill out the Wednesday night supper. Please fill that out and put it in the collection plate. Are there other announcements at this time that we need to make?
We may need to mention Grace Works. They have a big fundraiser at Franklin. It's listed on mark your calendar date to know. Actually, we need to know who's going, and it's a rather expensive meal, but it goes to Grace Works. That's really a donation to Grace Works. Mine is your bill. Yes. Yeah, I had read that. So, two things to take note there. If you'd like to go, we've been challenged. The Methodists are taking about 3 tables, but we were not trying to keep up with that.
Any other announcements? If not, this.
Take note of the Wednesday, the Thursday, and the Friday services. This is the holiest week, or we right. Make it so.
Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and then there's a Good Friday service that I think the youth are doing.
They are doing it, but it's for the
yes.
Church.
And then,
of
course, on Sunday is Easter Sunday. So yes, please make note of those dates also. We come to the time where we pause a moment to remember those that we need to remember in prayer or praise request. First of all, we'll do prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
Former co-worker of mine was killed in a car accident in Murfreesboro on Thursdays. The family of George Scruggs.
The family of George Scruggs. Yes, ma'am.
Who takes care of the dorm has been so good to them, and they, the kids, especially our
a promotion, a flyer in your bulletin. Go to Church World Service to help in disaster relief from Sudan to New Orleans. And then a portion of it stays here in the denomination for disaster relief. And I remember when Katrina came, money was quickly on the way there to give assistance to. So that kind of thing. One great hour of charity helps with that.
So just if you wish to participate in that, just put that in the offering plate as it comes around. Somebody had their hand up right here. What's the name?
The Hunt
family. Kim? Selsera, I think it is. Well, I saw her last night myself at Publix with John David. And she was walking fine, seemed to be okay, but you know, that's just chance meeting. Yeah. Are there others? If not, if you could just take a moment to bow your heads. Please remember those that we have listed on the prayer list, those that we have mentioned this morning, and pray for this week, since it is the holiest of the weeks, that we can celebrate that Christ rose. He accepted our sins on the cross, but yet He rose so that we might live again. So if you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if you return in your bulletins. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout out, daughter of Jerusalem.
Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he.
Humble and riding on the donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 173. 173.
Susie Camus, Jeff's mother, went back to the hospital a couple of days ago. Wasn't expected to last through the day yesterday, but I haven't heard anything this morning. Add her to your concerns. Miss Susie Camus. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you know our every need before we bring them to you, but we bring them to acknowledge that you are Lord of life and our life is in your hands and you have the power to work in your people and bring about good. Lord God, in so many cases we don't know what is good, but you do. So as we prayed with Miss Susie last night, we let her rest in you, trusting you to do in her life that which is best for her and her family. Lord, we pray for this service. And we have anticipations of what might happen. But Lord, we want you to be in control, in charge, you to lead us, you to direct us, and bring out of this gathering together what is best for you and your kingdom. And yes, we know that'll be best for we who are your people. Lord, we commit this time to you and help us to commit the following week that it truly might be a week of holiness as we think on you, serve you, and shape our lives by the example that you have set for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praying now as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put your faith into words.
You can turn to page 716 in your hymnal or look up here on the wall. It is in unison.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the time in our service where we confess our sin. Our call to confession today comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord the great and the awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. Now if you will join me in unison, the prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from you ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against you, holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus, Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness today comes from Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 185, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's sing the first and the last. The first and the last.
This day, we will partake of the elements of Holy Communion, of the Lord's Supper. this morning. During the cantata, there's a special piece that calls our attention to the institution of the supper, so we will participate again in that service. Also, on Thursday evening, you'll be invited to come here to the church in families, small groups, and gather at the table and remember that day when Jesus instituted, or that night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. So, also, I was participating in the Passion Play at the Tuscan Church on Thursday night, and there I participated. It has been many times this week that I have been invited to come to the Lord's table. So you will have three of those opportunities this morning and tonight and on Thursday. An omnibus experience. After our confession, we sing when I survey the wondrous cross. And it's an omnibus experience to think that God cared enough for us to send Jesus to pay for our sins. And it's an omnibus experience to come to this table to remember. We are surveying the cross. We are remembering what Christ did for us on the cross out of a great love for us. Something we could not do for ourselves. He provided forgiveness and eternal life. These words express that from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and we begin with verse 26. While they were eating, they being Jesus and the disciples, who had gathered for the celebration of the Passover, the last Passover that he would celebrate or observe with his disciples before he was crucified. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So we come to the Lord's table, and we have bread. Bread that represents His body. That body broken for us. Through the breaking of the wafer, we see symbolically how Jesus gave His life. He was crushed for us. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for loving us enough. And Lord, we know that in our sin we were lost and undone, helpless to help ourselves. But you reached down to us and sent Jesus to pay for every sin that we have ever committed. And we just thank you for it. And we eat this bread this day, remembering that deep, deep love that you have for us. Yes, we are honored. And we praise you. His kind of beauty, remembering His body being broken for you. A cup, the fruit of the vine. It's not actually blood, but it's symbolized in color. Shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, we have sinned. And many are our sins. But you sent Jesus to pay for them. Give His blood, give His life. Thank you. Praise be unto you. Food is an omelet experience to drink of this cup. Having received, you are now able to eat. Turn to people.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Matthew. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Lord God, we want to lose our life that it might be found in you. And thank you for the promise of the eternal life for your people who trust in you and that sacrifice you made for us. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from two different books of the Bible. The first scripture comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 12 and 9, through 19. And then from Luke, chapter 23, verse 33, and then verses 44 through 49. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. If you don't get cold chills from listening to this, I don't know what else. It gave me cold chills just reading this morning. The Word of God for the people of God. Praise be God.
April Fool's Day. What a day to have church. Did you think about that? Actually, I had thought about it, and then I kind of forgot it. And then, if you look at the story, the little message on the back of your worship bulletin, you'll see it kind of relates that to where we are today. Wanted to call your attention to two thoughts: palms and passion. Palm Sunday. We didn't want to deal with April Fool's Day. Somebody else could deal with that. Let's just don't be fools, unless we're fools for Jesus. Palm Sunday commemorates the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. John's account mentions the palm branches being thrown in the path of Jesus' donkey. The other Gospels do not mention the palm branches. They just tell about coats and other things to line the road, like they were welcoming a royal visitor. But today is also Passion Sunday. Now, don't click or type in passion in Google and read everything that comes up. I'll warn you, do not do it. Now, that'll probably send the teenagers, "We got to go see what he's talking about. Mama, Daddy, watch over them when they start looking for that." But passion, the caring, the intensity, the concern, the strong feelings that Jesus had for His people. The strong feelings that God has for His people. The deep, deep love that He has for us. So, while we think of palm branches and a parade, we can also think of the following days where we can observe the Passion of Christ. I chose a title for a sermon, a subtitle, and told my wife, and she says, "Don't do that." Can I do it anyway, since she'll be here at the later service? The question was, would you rather go to a parade or an execution? And that's what we have a choice of this morning, except I hope we can go to both. We can go to a parade, Palm Sunday parade, or and the execution of the Son of God. Let's think about it. So rather than choosing just one, let's review both, and it's going to have to be a rather rapid review, I know. I hope my goal or my purpose this morning is just to help us review the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on that, as we call it, the first Palm Sunday, and the events of the week that followed, with the hope, or with the anticipation even, that we would become better disciples. That it would not only throw cold chills upon us as we review it and read it and review it, but that also it will make a positive difference in our lives. All of us. And then, if there's a person who is not a disciple of Jesus present, that that person would be moved, touched, the Spirit of God would touch them, and they would trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The week began with a parade. A parade. I like parades, and I remember parades from my earliest days, mostly Christmas parades. And it was always so cold on Christmas parade night. It would not be cold for a Palm Sunday parade today, would it? But I think of those parades that I went to, and the joy and the happiness, and then homecoming parades. I remember coming through Smithville one Friday afternoon, and we had decided to get off the highway and or the main highway, the interstate, and go through Smithville and come Highway 70. Well, it was homecoming day at the high school. A wrong time to come through a small town on the main drag. Well, Nolensville in June, we'll have a parade. I've never tried to drive through Nolensville when the parade was going on. I've usually hindered other people driving through. But it is a happy time, a joyous time, and it was on this day. Jubilation. Is that a good word? Much excitement. And it was a hero's welcome that we understand was offered to Jesus by those who had claimed Him to be their Savior, or at least those who were expecting Him to do something in their life. And you can look at your scripture lesson there in John 12 and see something about the excitement of that day. But you can also go and read in the other Gospels the triumphant entrance experience of Jesus. But though it was jubilation on that day, before the week was over, the tide had turned. The situation had changed, and it had changed drastically. In my early preaching, I thought it might have been the same people that were present on Palm Sunday that were present on Friday. I'm not sure that the same people were there. Many of those who welcomed Him may have been in hiding on Friday when the tide had turned and the situation had so drastically changed. The religious leaders of that day wanted no part of this new covenant. though Jesus was one of them, they wanted no part of him. For them, these religious leaders, things were fine just as they had been for generations, and they didn't want any changes. You know, religious leaders still have that problem today. We see, but things have been okay like they are. Even if it's God invading our little world, sometimes we resist. And it was certainly God invading their little world there in Jerusalem. And they certainly resisted. Hopefully we won't resist, for it really is God bringing about change. We resist it, we put up barriers to any kind of a change. And I say, we do it. I've been a part of this. You know, some of the new stuff that is, we say, coming down the pike. I don't understand it yet. Some of the new thinking about worship, etc., etc. But let's go back to those people. Things were fine as they were. The religious practices, in their mind at least, had stood the test of time. And they thought that there was no need for changing anything. But Jesus, as the Son of God, as the servant of God, sent by God, Jesus had a new message for them. But it was so frustrating for them. The parade was on Sunday, but by Thursday, it was determined that this Jesus movement was getting out of hand. He was too popular. The people were going after him. The scribes and the priests and the others of the Sanhedrin, they knew that they had to do something. So they did. That night, Thursday night, Jesus met with the disciples to celebrate the Passover. It turned into a celebration of the Last Supper. He instituted there this Last Supper. Jesus and the disciples, though, they met to remember the way that God had freed their ancestors from the bondage in Egypt. They ate unleavened bread. They drank the fruit of the vine that represented the blood of the lamb, and they remembered how the blood of the slain lambs were spread over the doors and around the door of the household where the angel of death would pass over. This would convince the Egyptians when their children died, especially the Pharaoh, it would convince him to let the people go. And by Thursday, there he instituted the Lord's Supper. We have observed it today. He gave to them being the 12, and he gave to us a way to remember that he, to them, was going to give, and they could remember later that he had given. And to us, it gives us a way to remember that Jesus gave his body and gave his blood to free us from the sin, death, and Satan. By Thursday, at the end of the institution of the supper, or the end of the Passover meal, the group with Jesus dispersed. And they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went off by himself to pray. But he had left the disciples a few steps back or a few yards back and ask them to pray and to watch. Then that evening, there in the garden, betrayal. Jesus had predicted it. Betrayed with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. And then the soldiers came and they arrested him. The disciples, those, even Peter, who had said, "Lord, I'll stick with you to the end, even if they threaten to take my life." He ran. He stayed kind of close, but he ran. And then there was the trial, if you could call it a trial. I observed it again being acted out at the Tusculum Church on Thursday evening. He was shifted from Pilate to Herod, back to Pilate. Pilate washed his hands and let him take him and crucify him. And then there was Peter's denial. They said, "But Peter, you're one of them." They didn't know his name, but they, the people that saw him said, "You're a Galilean." And he said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man." And then Pilate tried to release Jesus. He said, "I find no charges that would bring about his death." But the crowd that day cried, "No, no, no." And they said, "Well, what shall we do with this man?" And they said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." So there was the death by crucifixion. Or the sentence to death by crucifixion. But before that happened, there was another parade. This was not such a jubilant parade. Quite sad. You who observed or viewed the movie, the recent movie, The Passion, remember, to me it was a sad experience. I even refused to watch a portion of it. This time the parade was from Jerusalem to the outskirts of Jerusalem, to the place of death. It's called Golgotha. It's called the place of the skull because the hill on which the crucifixion took place was shaped like the skull of a human. And we sing about it. It's Calvary. Calvary covers it all. We remember Jesus couldn't carry the cross. So one of the soldiers grabbed a man out of the crowd and asked him to carry it. And then Jesus nailed to the cross. While he was hanging there on the cross, it is recorded that he spoke 7 words. Words of forgiveness. He spoke of forgiving, of remembering the one who was crucified with him, one of them, that he would remember him in paradise. He spoke to John concerning his mother, caring for his mother. He spoke to God, "My God, my God, why hast you forsaken me?" He spoke a concern for himself, "I thirst." And then he spoke, "And it is finished." And then he proclaims, "Into thy hand I commit or commend my spirit." A sad day. A life snuffed out. The Son of God. The miracle worker. Had evil won? And you know the answer. If you don't, I will tell you. Evil had not won. It was all a part of God's plan. All a part of God's plan. God looked down and saw sinful man, and he sent his son Jesus for this moment. He sent him to pay for sin. He sent him to bring forgiveness, redemption, justification, salvation, sanctification, eternal life. There at Calvary, Jesus laid down his life for his friends, for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And amen. 175 is the song. Let's sing verses 1 and 3. Maybe your response this morning is a public response. Certainly, all of us will have a private response, or a response between us and God. Stand with me, if you will. Thank you.
Thank you.